Now, I'd like for you to turn to the book of Psalms and let us look at some things that were written aforetime, if you will. Psalms chapter number 119. Psalm 119 is what some people call the middle of the Bible. Now, if you want to be a technicality on this, I think Psalm 117 verses number 1 or 2 is the middle of the Bible, but I'll take 119 as close enough, all right? 119 is the middle of the Bible, and it's very interesting when you consider that, because what is the theme, the topic of Psalm 119? It is the Word of God. That is what the topic is. That's the theme all throughout it. There's 176 verses, and I think 171 of them speak of the Word of God. Interesting enough that the center of the Bible is centered on the Bible. The center of the Bible, the center of the Word is centered on the Word. And this morning we want to discover in this long chapter here some hope that can be found in the Word of God. As I reminded you and told you in Romans 15:4 that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. But the question that remains for us is this: how can we find hope in the Word of God? How can you find hope in a book? How can you not find hope in the pages of the Scriptures? Where is that lie at? Where is that found at? Well, I believe it's found in a couple of places. It's found in Genesis 15 and also Romans 4. I'm going to have you turn to all of this. It's just simply introduction. But we find that hope is found in the Scriptures because of a man named Abraham. And Abraham was told by God that he would have a son. And that son would be the one that would bless all nations. And in fact, that son, he would have a son, and his lineage would be such a way that the stars would be, his lineage would be more than the stars of the heavens, he says. More than the sand of the sea. More than you could count is the idea there. More than you could ever count, you would have this son. And what does Abraham do in Genesis 15? Well, in Genesis 15, the Bible says, and Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. You realize that that's all you need to do to be saved today? Is to believe the Word of God. Do you believe God's Word on salvation? Do you believe the Word of the Lord whenever it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and shalt believe in thine heart the Lord Jesus and that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved? Do you believe the Word of the Lord where it says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? Do you believe the Word of the Lord when it says whenever Paul speaks to that Philippian jailer and tells him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved?
Amen.
Have you believed that? If you have, then my friend, with confidence we now draw nigh. With confidence we now draw nigh. You're saved, born again, believer in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the Bible teaches us that Abraham did the very exact same thing. He believed God. And it was accounted unto him for righteousness' sake. And Romans 4 tells us this. That this man Abraham, when he was in his late 90s, believed this promise that he would have a son. And his wife, who was probably in her late 80s, was going to have a son. How is this going to be possible? Listen to the word of the Lord. And as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, for whom ye have believed. Even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth all those things which be not as they were, who against hope, this is what Abraham did, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. The man Abraham is set for us as an example in the Scriptures of somebody that believed in the Word of God. He had hope in the Word of God, and in so doing, was blessed for it. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this, is that we find hope in the Scriptures because we rest in the promises of the Scriptures. The Scriptures are filled with promises. And we find hope in those things because we rest in the promises of God. What is the promise given to Abraham? You will have a son, and that son shall be the father of many nations, he says. And I love how God directs the apostle to write this. He even tells him, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Did you notice what he says there? As it is written, I have made thee. What is the connection there? Is that God puts the spoken word on the same level as the written word. As I have written, as I have spoken. As I have written, written word, spoken word, on level. They're the same. So many people today want some kind of new revelation from God. They want God to speak to me. Well, if God just spoke to me, I would believe it. I don't believe they would. You know why? Because the Word incarnate came down and spoke to them. And I was just reading there in my Bible in Matthew chapter number 8 that Jesus marveled at the crowd there in Nazareth at their unbelief when he spoke to them the words of the living God because he is the Word of God.
That's right.
You have folks like Joyce Myers or Kenneth Copeland who think that we need a new revelation from God. And they have the revelation. Kenneth Copeland even rebuked COVID. That was about almost a year ago. Still around. Even have more conservative writers like Larry Crabb or Norman Blackaby or Henry Blackaby. Says to us that we need something a little bit more to find a way to get in touch with God. But my Bible tells me over 10 times this, that I can find hope in the Word of the living God. That is where my hope lies. Just like Abraham did. Abraham found hope in the Word of the Lord. Abraham was not in a meditative trance whenever the Word of the Lord came to him. Moses was not in contemplative prayer on the backside of the desert when he saw the burning bush. Joshua, whenever he had the word of the Lord come to him, was not in some far off place just isolated as a monk. No, where were these people at? Matthew, think about this. Matthew was sitting at the receipt of the custom. He was sitting at the tax collector's table, and here came the word of the Lord. And what did they hope in? They hoped in God's holy word. So when you find hope in God's word, guess what happens? You find surety. You find certainties about life. You find something in which you can rest your feet on. Oxford says in his dictionary that the word hope is a feeling of expectation and desire. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, that the hope in God and His Word is more than a feeling. It's more than a feeling. It's more than that. It is a steadfast bedrock confidence in what God says is true and will come to pass. God said it, He will do it. The old little Southern gospel song used to say this, is that God said it, and I believe it, and I know that it's true. But my friend, you might as well just take out the I believe it part. Because if God said it, it's true. It's going to happen, whether you believe it or not. Whether you think it's going to happen or not, God said it, and it's going to come true. And so we come to our text today in Psalm 119. And in Psalm 119, we're going to discover just exactly what resting in God's promises will produce. What does it produce? No, I'm looking forward to getting to heaven.
Amen.
For many reasons. Number one, to see my Lord and Savior. We don't talk enough about heaven, do we? Sometimes. Man, I can't. The crystal sea, the glorious throne. Hey, I've seen a rainbow, but I've never seen an emerald rainbow that surrounds the throne. I've seen a half rainbow, but I've never seen a circle rainbow. It surrounds the throne. I've never seen streets of gold clear as glass. But you know there's something there in that city too, along that river. There is a tree there called the Tree of Life. And it bears its fruit in its season. And one tree bears 12 different fruits. Now you tell me how that exists. I don't understand. But I'm here to tell you today that the Word of the Living God is here to produce many fruits in our life. And not just the ones that I'll give you this morning. It's here to produce many more. So stay with me this morning. We've got a lot to cover. Psalm 119 in verse number 43 is our first example of what hope in the Word of the Lord produces. Look what it says in verse 43. He says to the Lord, he says, "And take not the word of the truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hope in thy judgments." The first thing that the word, that hope in God's word produces is this: it produces wisdom. Wisdom. The word judgment there is not the idea of judging somebody, but it is the idea of having proper judgments and discernment and understanding about life. In order to have a proper understanding on how to live out my life, there, guess where I find that at? Anybody want to take a guess?
The word.
Yes. I was hoping somebody might say something here. Maybe let get a little class participation. You'll be graded on that at the end of the sermon today. But we find it in the Word of God. How do I live my life? Right here it is. It's in God's Word. He says to the Lord, he says, "Take not the word of truth out of my mouth." Why? Because out of it I understand how to live. I know how to do things. "Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice to understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Daniel says in his word, he says, "He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." You say, "I want to know wisdom. I want to have understanding. I want to know what to do with my life, with my finances, with my children, with my wife, with my husband, with what I'm doing. What do I do with life?" I'll tell you where you find hope at. Right here. You're not going to find it in the psychologist or the psychiatrist. You're not going to find it in the latest self-help book. You're not going to find it in those things. And I'll just tell you right now, you're not going to even find it in your pastor, because your sufficiency, as Luke pointed out this morning so well, that sufficiency does not rest in the speaker, but it rather rests in the Scriptures. We find our hope in the words of the living God. You're not going to get a revelation. You're not going to maybe get God speaking to you directly and openly. But you know what? I can guarantee you this. You've got all you need right here. Everything you need for life is right in this book right here. Everything. If you doubt that, you doubt the Word of God. You doubt the sufficiency of the Scriptures. None of us probably would say that we doubt that. But how many of us could possibly repent today and say, "Yes, I have in my lifestyle doubted that"? I would be the first to raise my hand. Before I ever cast a stone at you, the speck out of your eye, trust me, God has dealt with some logs in my own life. Because we all at times in our lifestyle have not lived according to the Word of God. You say, "I don't know how to get it." You say, "I'm not very wise. I'm very young. I'm just starting off in this thing." Let me give you a good promise of God's Word. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Let me explain a couple of words there. Liberally, you know what that word means? It means abundantly. It means without reservation. It means without holding back. And upbraideth means to chide. It means to discipline. God is not out to discipline you. God does not chide you. God is not upset with you if you say to him, "God, I am very dumb. I need help." I won't make you say that, but maybe you can try it in your own prayer time, all right? "God, I do not know what to do in this situation. God, please help me. God, I'm very unwise in how to direct my speech in this matter. God, what do I do?" Where's the answer? It'll be found in God's holy word. Look there in the same text in Psalm 119 in verse number 49. You don't have to go very far. He says, "Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to" what? What does he say? Hope. That's the common theme you're going to find out very quickly. Another promise of hope comes here. Hope in God's word will yield a prayer life. When you begin to hope in God's word, guess what you'll start to do? You'll start praying. You say, how do you correlate the two? Look here at verse number 49. Remember the word unto thy servant. Now, that seems kind of odd to me, because to ask God to remember something, why do I have to? God knows everything, right? Why do I have to ask God to remember something? What is he saying here? What's the point here? What's he pointing towards us here? It's like a child who calls on his parent to remember a promise. Hey, Dad, you said you'd take me to academy this week. Hey, Dad, you said you'd take me to academy this week. Hey, Dad, you said you'd take me to academy this week. It's not that the parent has forgotten that he said he would do that thing, but here's the deal, is that there is a childlike anticipation, and he doesn't want him to forget. Please don't forget. You said you would do this. Hope in God's word will make us to know that the promises, make us know the promises of God, and to call out to him to fulfill those promises. What did Jesus say in the Lord's Prayer? What did he say? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And what is the first prayer request of that? Thy kingdom come. That's the first prayer request of the Lord's Prayer. God, please come again. Have you ever prayed that way? God, please come. What about the very last words of the Scriptures? What do they teach us in John's writings at the end of the book? The Bible says, and the words of Christ are these, surely I come quickly. Surely I come quickly. And then John prays, even so come, Lord Jesus. We ought to be asking God, fulfill your promises. It would yield a prayer life. Whenever you hope in God's words, you will call out to him for your promises. It yields a prayer life. You say to God about your children, God, you said in your word, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. God, please, I did my best. I want you to please help me in this problem. Lord, my son, my daughter are not going to the rays of righteousness. Please, God, please fulfill your promise. What about your witness? Has you ever felt that your witness fell on deaf ears? Well, listen to Isaiah 55:11. So shall my words be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please and prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. What about the wicked, Pastor? Oh, I get people all the time talking to me, especially when everybody finds out I'm a pastor, that, oh, we're living in tough days, aren't we? I mean, it's immediately, there's a morose and a melancholy that seeps over them, and they just suddenly get down, and their shoulders begin to drop, and, oh, Pastor, oh, such a bad time we're living in, like it's, Marley, he's walking up the steps with the chains, you know what I mean? And listen, folks. You don't think that God's got it under control? Amen?
Amen?
Remind him. Tell him. God, your word says, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. God will take care of the wicked in his time. God will destroy. You say, well, what about this person and that person? I'm not worried about this person and that person. We ought to not be worried about those that can kill the body and not do nothing to the soul. But praise God, we ought to be worried about one that can both kill body and soul in hell. Amen? Be considerate of that thing. Remember God's promises. It will drive you to your knees. It will manifest a prayer life. Because you'll realize the promises of God. And then what will you do? You'll turn around and remind God of his promises. And tell God of his promises. Happiness. Psalm 119 and verse number 74. Psalm 119, verse number 74. Look what it says here. He says, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me. That's interesting. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me. Why? What's the reason? Because, why? What does it say? Can we all do it together? I have hope in thy word. All right? You can do a lot better than that. I know it's Sunday morning. Okay, here we go. Because why? I have hope in thy word. Why will people be glad when they see me? Because, he says, it will yield a happiness, not just to you, but to others. How encouraging it is and happy for me when I meet another believer that hopes in God's Word. You ever met somebody on the street that you don't even know and you begin to talk to them about God and man, they just all of a sudden light up like a sunbeam and talk to you about hoping in God's Word? Doesn't that encourage your heart? Amen? Do you want to be an encouragement to somebody? To another believer? And don't talk about sports. Don't talk about politics. Don't talk about any of the bad things that are going on in the world today. Talk about God. Amen?
Amen.
Tell and say, hey, listen what I got out of God's Word this morning. Can I tell you? Can I tell you? That will bring a hope and an encouragement like no other thing can do. It will make them happy. That's why I had Alex read to you this morning, Matthew 5. You say, why did he read Matthew 5? I'm not even in Matthew 5. I had him read it because I wanted you to hear the words. Blessed, 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 blessed. And you know what the last beatitude says? Rejoice. And be exceedingly glad. Why? What do all of those things say? What is the word blessed in the translated as? You know what a simple translation of blessed is? For our modern word, happy. Happy. That's what it means. People are looking for happiness. Turn them over to Matthew 5, 1 through 12. Joanna's smiling back at me right now with a big old grin right there. It makes me smile, you know? Turn to your Bibles. Look in your Word. Hey, I am filled up more than if I'd eaten a delicious steak dinner. I'm fuller than if I'd eaten at a table set for a king whenever I talk to somebody else about hope in God's Word. Read the Beatitudes. They all say, if you'll look to the Word of God, you'll find a happiness. You'll have a steady and indisputable confidence in the promises of God. Read them over again and again. Psalm 119 in verse number 81. Hope in God's promises produces happiness, but it also produces healing. Psalm 119 in verse number 81 says, my soul fainteth for thy salvation. But what did he do? He says, I hope in thy word. The prophet is about to pass out. He's near to death. He feels himself ill. He feels himself about to fall off the scene maybe. But he remembers the promises of God. And what does it do? It brings a healing about him. And he's able to continue on and to persevere. He has a sad and lonely life, he feels like, he says right there. My soul fainteth for thy salvation. I'm about to pass out. But what happens? But I hope in thy word. I hope in thy word. I find hope in you, God. And the Bible tells us these great promises. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Why? For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There's the promise. There it is. Do not be weary in well-doing. Why? The promise is this. Because in due season, you will reap if we fail not. Listen to this promise. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There's the promise. We don't oftentimes read the Bible like that, do we? We just read the scriptures. We just read it down through that. But read the command and then read the promise after the command. It follows right on the heels of it. Hey, be steadfast. Hope in God's word. Why? If you do, understand this, that your labor will never be in vain if it's for the Lord. It offers protection. Look at Psalm 119 in verse number 114. Psalm 119 in verse number 114. Forgive me, I've had these allergies and my head gets spinning a little bit. It feels like I need some water here. Maybe I need to calm down. Psalm 119, verse 114. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. I hope I'm not boring. I'm not trying to say the same thing over and over and over again here. What we're saying here is this, is that if you rest in the promises of God, it yields certain results. And I say certain, I don't mean like maybe. I mean certain, sure. They will happen. It will produce a wisdom. It will produce a confidence in you. It will produce a healing, a happiness. It will produce protection. You ever feel threatened by the world and the devil? Have you had some trouble at home that's bothering you? Have you had some issue that keeps creeping up into your life? Have you some person that's a constant bother or a hurt upon your life? There's hiding in the Word of God. Your God, he says here, your hope and your God's Word will provide protection. He says, thou art my hiding place and my shield. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, he says, what is it that will happen? He shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I will trust. Listen to this promise in Psalm 32. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. 1 Peter 5:7 says this. He says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Let me take a very quick quiz here, pop quiz. How much care does Jesus want you to give him? All. All. So if you have a care over here, and you've given everything else, and you're holding on to one care, do you think you've given all to him? No. You're still holding on to something. He says, cast it on him. The word cast is a very interesting word in the New Testament. It means to literally hurl like a ball. To hurl like a ball. I think of an outfielder who receives who catches a fly ball on the warning track and is able to deliver a strike all the way to third base. It's an amazing accomplishment for a right fielder to be able to throw all the way to third base in just one throw. That's amazing. Not even a hop, not even a bounce, not even a short hop. One throw all the way to third base. And that's the idea of hurl. Throw it on God. Give it to me. That's what he says. I want it. Why? Because I can take it. I want it because I can take it. You don't want it, and you shouldn't have it because you can't take it. You can't bear it. Listen to me here. I don't know what part of the sermon you need the most here today, but this one here sticks out to me very much, and I would like for you just to pay attention real close. What you're hoping in will determine such a deliverance. I was struck very hard this week by a man named Joseph. I was reading through my scriptures, and I came to the place of Joseph's life. And after his brothers have abused him and sold him as a slave, and he's gone through everything that he's gone through there in Egypt, and now his brothers have come back, and there they are bowing down before him. And they're weeping and they're crying, and he's revealed himself to them. And they're upset with themselves for what they have done. This struck me so much. In Genesis 45:8, whenever it says, so now, it was not you that sent me hither, but God. It was not you that sent me down, but God. And friend, that is a bedrock, steadfast, confident hope in the Word of God. You say, what confidence, what word did he have? Well, he didn't have a word like we had so much. But you know that he had those two dreams. And he never lost hope. He never lost confidence. He never lost sight of the fact of what God was going to do. God was going to bring his brothers back to him, and they would bow down. But here's the point I want you to hear this morning. How many Christians have squandered their opportunity to be a blessing and a help and an encouragement to someone else, and they threw it all away when something bad happened to them, when somebody hurt them, when somebody did something they shouldn't have done to them and literally hurt them? I'm not talking about that you yourself were bad and you were getting your just fund. I mean, somebody really hurt you. They offended you. But how many Christians have squandered away the blessings that could have gone with helping somebody else through the hurt that they were experiencing? They threw it all away on a bad attitude or a bitter spirit or a rebellious heart or a discouraged soul, and they traded hope in God's word for a temple pity party or a fascination with the world or just an upset and a discouraged heart. Casting all your care upon him. Joshua had beat those people there in Jericho and won a decisive and awesome battle. Then he goes to this little town called Ai, but unbeknownst to him, a man named Achan has sinned in the camp. And unbeknownst to Joshua, and unwise to Joshua, he also says, you know what? It's a little town. And they doesn't even ask God for help. He just sends out a little party, and guess what? 36 men die. And he's down on his knees, and he's begging God, and he's saying, God, what's happened? You said you would deliver us, you're going to help us. He said, get up, the prayer meeting's over. There's sin in the camp. Casting all your care upon him. What if Joshua would have stayed discouraged? What if he would have stayed down in the dumps? What if he said, oh, I can't do this. Woe is me. Oh, this is terrible. You know what? It would have hurt everybody else in the camp. It would have hurt everybody else. And dads, let me pay attention here real quick. Or if you're a mom and you're the leader in the home, pay attention real quick. Is that your children need not to see you discouraged. You say, but I'm human, and I can't help it. And I understand that. But they need to find a courage and an encouragement in you with the word of the living God. They need to see you. You might be down, and I'm not saying you don't get hurt, and I'm not saying that maybe they don't see some tears coming down the eyes, and that's not a bad thing. Trust me. But what I'm saying is this, is that parents, don't you lose confidence in the word of the living God. Don't you get discouraged when times are tough and times are hard and people don't treat you like they ought to do. Don't you let that spill over, because I tell you right now, it is contagious and it'll spill all over to those kids. Amen. And they'll see it and they'll be more discouraged than you ever will be. Let them find a bedrock confidence in the hope of the living God and in his word in you. In you, my friend, can you say, as Paul said to your kids, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. Hope in God's word. It provides protection. That doesn't, and I say, and I highlight this because it doesn't mean that God is just going to make your life a bed of roses. Unless you want to consider that roses also got thorns. It means this, is that the Bible lets us know we will go through troubles. We will have offenses. We will be offended in many things. But here's the thing. Understand, my friend, is that God lets us know that it was not you that sent me hither, but it was God. God did this. This was in God's plan. We rest it back on him. Psalm 119:116 tells us that we can find a great fruit here. It is in the boldness. A boldness. Uphold me according unto thy word that I may live, and let me not be ashamed. Uphold me, he says. When you are hoping in God's word, it produces a boldness that can never be defeated. Look at John and Peter standing before the Sanhedrin. Men that were 10 times more intelligent than they were. And yet they confounded them. Why? What was the key antidote? What was the key thing? I tell you what it was. Hope in God's word. How do you put the mouth, how do you put the scorner's mouth to silence? The word of God. The word of God. You say, well, what if they don't believe in God's word? Nobody believes in God's word before they get saved. Have you ever thought about that? You say, well, I have to use these arguments, and I have to say this apology. And I'm not getting on apologetics. They have their place, no doubt about it. But understand this. Never think to yourself, well, they don't believe God's word. Who cares? Nobody believes God's word before they get saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I don't need the time to take you down through that thing there. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. You say, so what do I do? You give them the Word of God. For it is with the word of God, the Bible says, it is with the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You give them the word of God because you have nothing else. Your words will fall on deaf ears, but God's word will go and it will do the thing where it was sent for what it was sent to do. It produces peace. I prevented the dawning of the morning, and I cried, I hoped in thy word. The psalmist has peace because he cries at night. He's crying. He's begging God. He's afraid. He says, God, I need help. I need help. But what does he say? I hoped in thy word. He knows that peace will come in the morning. He has rested promises of weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. He has rested his life on Psalm 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? What's the promise? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's the promise. Have you found hope in Jesus' words when he says, peace I leave with you, not as my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I'm rushing through these last points. I could spend much more time with these. But here's one I want us to see. It's the last one. It's Psalm 119:166. It teaches us this. Lord, we should start our prayers like that many times, shouldn't we? Lord, what does that say? Master? That's what it means. It means God. Lord, I have hope for thy salvation and done thy commandments. Finally, I want to tell you that when you rest in the promises of God and when you rest in your hope in God's word, it will yield, or it should yield, obedience to God's word. Let us not only be quick to obey let us not only be quick to believe the promises of God's word, but let us also be quick to obey the commandments of God's holy word. Hear the words, but also be a doer. John 14:21, he tells his disciples, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he that is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, verse number 17. Let us revisit our friend Abraham one more time. Abraham hoped in God's word, and it yielded a great reward. Guess what? In his late age, at 100 years old, and Sarah at 90, they have a son, Isaac. But just as we're ending our message today on obedience, his hope in God's word is finalized through obedience. Abraham's greatest test of hope in God's word came upon the fact that he was going to have to sacrifice his son Isaac. And as it says, your only son, in whom thou lovest. Sacrifice him. Kill him. Upon the mountain that I shall tell you, though. Abraham was told to sacrifice, listen to me here, his hope. All the promises of God rested in Isaac. Everything that God had been telling Abraham rested in Isaac. He tried to say, what about Eliezer? He said, no. It'd be one born of thy own loins. He said, what about Ishmael? He said, no. It'd be one born of Sarah. Somewhere around the age of 12 to 15 years old, God speaks to Abraham again and tells him to go to this Mount Moriah and sacrifice Isaac there upon that altar in which he was going to build. And though this man Abraham was going to perhaps lose his earthly hope in Isaac, Yet his eternal hope in God's word was not about to be shaken. It was not about to be detoured. He chose, listen to me, he chose not to rest in the product of hope, but rather the person of hope, God Almighty. Look at Hebrews 11 and verse number 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac thy seed shall be called. Accounting what? That God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Hope in God's word must be stronger than any hope that we might have in this world, even if all our hope rests in one thing of this world. All of it rested in Isaac. It was all in him. All or nothing with Isaac. But Abraham said, no. I've got something greater than Isaac. I've got something greater than Isaac. I have the promises and the surety of hoping in God's word. And if I sacrifice my son upon the altar that he told me to sacrifice, then he had believed in his heart, as Hebrews later on reveals to us, that God would raise him up from the dead, from whence he received him in a figure. A figure of who? Jesus Christ our Lord, who died on the cross for our sins, and on 3 days later was risen from the dead, just like he said he would do. No man taketh my life from me, he says, but I lay it down and I will take it up again. Don't believe those scoffers that say that only the Father was involved in the resurrection. No, my friend. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit of God, all three in this beautiful and wonderful thing we call the resurrection of Jesus Christ, working together to bring back Christ again alive to us. So why? Why? What does it do? The resurrection is the fulfillment of all of this book, my friend. It's all here. If he doesn't rise again from the dead, and you take this book, and I don't say this sacrilegiously, but if he doesn't rise from the dead, then you take this book and you throw it in the fire. But he has risen from the dead. And we are not of all men most miserable, but we are all men, just like the psalmist says, most happy and joyous and glorious. For we rest in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who died for our sins and rose again the third day. And we hope in God's word. God's word is stronger. Hope in God's word yields a marvelous blessing. And I ask you today, what are you hoping in? Does it yield a prayer life? Does it yield obedience to God? Does it yield peace? Does it yield boldness? Does it produce healing or happiness or wisdom? Friend, hope in God's word produces all of those things. But whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. What are you hoping in today? Where does your hope rest at? May it rest in the promises of God. For his promises are yea and amen. Hope in God's word.